I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
Welcome back into another edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. We are powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, and listening to this podcast. You can find it at Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, the KSL News Radio app, KSLSports.com. Any place you can, that has a podcast, you can find the Jazz Notes Podcast. It's another draft edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. This time, I wanted to cover a couple of guys who played for Gonzaga. Last time, we covered some guys who played for Kentucky who could end up being drafted by the Jazz with that 23rd pick. This time, I wanted to focus on a couple of Zags. One of them is Brandon Clark. The other one's Rui Hachimura. And we're going to be talking with The Athletic's Kendra Andrews. Now, she covered both guys when they played in Spokane. And this season, she's making a little bit of a change. She's going to be helping to cover the Denver Nuggets this season for The Athletic. Now, before I did this interview, I was looking at Sports Illustrated's mock draft, and they, in their initial mock draft, had Clark going to Utah, so I thought it was a safe bet to talk to Kendra about this at that time. And this interview was done not too long ago, but I thought it was safe to talk about Clark. But many other mock drafts have come out since then, and they actually have Clark going in the lottery, so he may not even fall to the Jazz at number 23. But you never know. He could still end up in Utah, depending on how everything falls out on July 20th. So I first wanted to find out from Kendra more about his game, and it sounds like he's the Energizer Bunny.
Watching video of Brandon, I see plenty of dunks, blocks, hustle plays. Uh-huh. Am I missing anything in his game, Kendra? Does that pretty much, kind of sum it up? Is he just the ultimate hustle guy?
You know, he really is. I think heading into this past college basketball season, he was one of the most underappreciated, underrecognized players because no one really knew what to expect from him. And just like you said, blocking shots, dunking over anyone and everyone, giving hustle, he's an elite defender who can also provide some explosiveness on offense in the paint with those dunks. But he has taken a lot of pride in improving his shot. He's not a shooter by any means, but he's a learner. He's wanting to improve. He's wanting to become more of a player than just blocking shots and dunking.
From SI, so Sports Illustrated's mock draft, they say Clark is a divisive player from scout to scout. Some say because of his game, because of what you just described, basically lots of dunks but maybe no outside shooting, that he might be pegged better for the second round. But they say a competitive team could plug him in as a role player right now. Right now he's a 6'8", what I would say 6'8" power forward. Is that kind of fair in what they say right now? Because even though they say some scouts feel that way, almost all the mock drafts out there say that he's probably going to end up in the first round, maybe with the Jazz or maybe with some other team in the late teens or early to mid-20s.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he ended up in the second round. I just don't see that happening. I think he cemented himself as one of the best college basketball players, or maybe even the second best behind Zion Williamson. So I would be absolutely shocked if he wasn't a first-round draft pick. A lot of people have him going as early as a lottery pick, as, you know, farther down, maybe in the early mid-20s. But I definitely think that he could be a first-round draft pick.
You mentioned that he was working on his shot, or he's not averse to shooting from the outside. Since I didn't get to see all the Gonzaga games, how much did he shoot from the outside? Because, as I said, most highlights are of him dunking or, you know, coming in for a rebound for a slam dunk or something like that.
Absolutely. You know, he hit about 4 3-pointers. But considering the fact that in his 2 years at San Jose State, he only hit 2 3-pointers. And at Gonzaga, he, you know, already doubled that in 1 year. I mean, that's pretty impressive. During his time at San Jose State, he only attempted 9. And at Gonzaga, he upped that to 15. So you could kind of tell that he was just a little bit more comfortable with that outside shot. You know, as far as just shooting in general, that also upped. You know, he at San Jose, he was in the low 60s, high 50%. And now at Gonzaga, he was in the high 60s. So he's definitely got more comfortable. Not a consistent shooter by any means, but I think, you know, anytime he was open on that perimeter, because defenders wouldn't go out to defend him from there, everyone would chant for him to shoot because they definitely wanted to see him do it. You know, if he could improve that shot, I mean, he would just be even more lethal than he already is.
Did he avoid shooting because it was out of the offense and not what Coach Mark Few wanted him to do? Or was it just he's trying to build up his confidence and he thinks, I think I'll be a little bit more comfortable near the basket?
I don't think he has necessarily avoided shooting the three. If it came to him and he saw the opportunity, he definitely did take it because, like I said, that's something that he wanted to improve on and that's something that he wants to prove he can do. But I think he knew where he could best help the team. When you have guys like Josh Perkins and Zach Norvell, or even a guy like Corey Kispert who can consistently knock down those threes, he probably thinks, okay, you know what, I'll let those guys, that's their spot. I'm going to go where I know that I can get the Zags points. I know I can kind of destroy anyone that gets in my way in the paint. I'm going to go over there.
You've talked about him potentially being in the end of the lottery. It doesn't sound like, though, he's a guy that will probably end up in the G League because he does hustle so well and because he is so athletic. He could possibly end up on a good team in a good situation, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be ending up in the G League anytime soon, no matter who drafts him right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I really don't think he would end up in the G League. I think, like you said, his athleticism is just too incredible to end up there. He's a guy who I think can learn as he plays. He's not a guy who needs to go down into the G League to develop a little bit more. I think over the off season, you know, he's going to continue to work, continue to improve. And I think that he's the type of guy who, once he faces top tier competition, the guys that he would face in the NBA, he can play up to that level. He'll bring his game up just to compete with those guys.
Every time NBA prospects come through Salt Lake City and every other place, they're asked, you know, do you think you would fit well with this team? So I'm going to ask you the silly question too. Do you think that Brandon Fitz could fit well here in Salt Lake City? I think he would fit well with the culture, but does he fit well? Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe even next to Rudy Gobert if they wanted to place him there?
You know, I think he could. I think one thing that Brandon would really help with the Jazz is in their rotation. You know, they obviously have a lot of free agents coming up in this offseason, possibly a lot of trades happening. And so I think he could provide them with a boost off the bench. You know, something the Jazz have kind of talked about wanting to improve on this for this upcoming season is, you know, they want a sharp shooter. They want shooting. And Brandon, he can't really bring that sniper shooter that they want there. But, you know, as a four, I think that they would play to him as a four. He could really provide a good boost there coming off the bench, a spark on defense. I mean, the Jazz are a good defensive team. He's an amazing defensive player, so he'd fit in well there. And, I mean, his offense, it can improve, obviously, but he has proven himself to be a pretty good offensive player.
Rui Hachimura has all season long in season-long mock drafts. He's been scheduled to go in the lottery. You know, you're starting now to see maybe he falls a little bit out of the lottery. Do you think he still goes before Brandon Clark, though, just because of his upside, you know, from what scouts have seen from him the past couple of seasons?
You know, that's a really good question. I have toyed a lot all season long with, I've been asked so many times, who do you think is the better player, Brandon Clarke, Rui Hachimura? And I go back and forth a lot with it. You know, overall, I think Brandon Clarke is actually a little bit better than Rui. I still think that Rui's definitely going to go the first round. I mean, you asked if he's going to be a lottery pick. I really think it could go either way, depending on what teams are wanting for them and their roster. You know, Rui, he's incredibly strong. He has long arms. He's good coordination. He can run in transition, you know, but he also does have limits to his game. You know, there's been a little bit of concern if he can develop his offense more to play at the NBA level. You know, he's not always super consistent. He's had some games where he scored like 2 points. So I think those might be things that make him fall lower in the first round. But I really think it depends on what teams are looking and what teams want, because he is also another freak athlete.
Same concerns with Rui, though, that you see with Brandon Clarke. You see that he has a lot of things, a lot of good intangibles there, but I guess I'm going to definitely go back to shooting. Is that probably his biggest weakness right now, shooting from the outside?
I think it is, too. I he's definitely not known for his shooting either. I mean, just like Brandon, on whatever highlights you really see on SportsCenter or whatever, are those crazy athletic dunks, those defensive plays. He isn't a consistent shooter. He's, you know, hit some from the mid-range pretty well, but he can go ice cold from that too. And I think the way that the league is played right now is you want your bigs to be able to do it all. You know, you want your bigs to be able to shoot. You see guys like Giannis, you see guys like Kevin Durant shooting the three and knocking it down. I think being a big in the NBA now isn't just about being able to block shots and play in the paint. And so I think that both Rui and Brandon have to improve on those parts of their game.
Last question I have for you, and it deals with Zach Norvell Jr. He's staying in the NBA draft. Are you surprised since most don't think he's going to be picked until the second round? Are you surprised he's not going to at least come back and see if he can improve his draft stock for next year? Or does he kind of figure, well, you know, I need to go now, and this is, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get really any better if I stick in college?
You know, I was a little surprised because this past season was his first real breakout season that, you know, really got him on people's radar. So part of me thought that he might come back to develop his game more. But like you just said, there is that possibility of, can I get any better playing at the level I was playing at? And Gonzaga is just so dominant in the WCC that really the only places that they can really shine and play those tough competitors are in the non-conference and then, of course, in the tournament. So from that standpoint, I understand why he left and decided to stay in the draft. You know, I do think that he is probably going to be a second-round draft pick, but, I mean, he's a sharpshooter. He's a knockdown shooter. He's not really a primary ball handler. He can create his own shot, though. So I think he could be a good asset for a team, but I think that he's the kind of guy who might take a little bit more to develop. But, you know, he's a great player, and I think he will land somewhere.
Well, Kendra, where can we find you on Twitter, and where can we read more of your stuff?
Yes, so you can find me on Twitter at Kendra_Andrews, because by the time I got on Twitter, Kendra_Andrews is already taken. And you can read a lot of my stuff on The Athletic. I covered Gonzaga for them all season. So most of my pieces about the Zags and stuff can be found up there.
I'll have more thoughts in these two guys after this break. All right, welcome back into Jazz Notes. In the last pod with Jeremiah, I said I wasn't sure if Utah should draft a guy like Brandon Clarke if they have a chance. And I really didn't go into the reason why I felt that way. First of all, I think that the Jazz are trying to look for a guy who can shoot from the outside, who can play that four position. Now, granted, Brandon Clarke's probably not going to start if he was drafted by the Utah Jazz. Neither would Rui Hachimura. Maybe eventually they would, you know, if either one of them were taken by the Jazz, that they could eventually start. But both those guys are not stretch fours. Everything for both of these guys mainly comes around the rim. Now, they could improve their shooting from Jazz staff, but that can only go so far. Yeah, they can improve, but are they going to take a volume or a number of three-point shots? And I guess I look at Derek Favors. I know maybe that's an unfair comparison, but we heard for 2 years how Derek Favors was improving his three-point shot, and it never really improved. In fact, it looked ugly in many of games. And most guys, they revert back to what they're good at. And for Clarke and for Hachimura, that's, you know,
mainly getting baskets around the basket. And, you know, that's good. I mean, it's not, that's not a bad thing per se, but, you know, they're not really a stretch four. So they're kind of more along the lines of like a Derek Favors, not as big and maybe even a little bit more athletic, but Derek has some good aspects about him too, especially because he's the best backup center in the league right now. Both these guys are a little undersized, but they're both athletic. You could argue with, in a way, with both these guys that they're on the older end. They're in their early 20s. Listen, I'm not going to argue that. I think that's a little unfair for both of these guys. These guys are not superstars, and they're never going to project to be superstars. They're going to project to be good role players in the NBA. So I think it's unfair to talk about their age. Yes, you'd like to find them at 19, but if they're 21 or 22, I think that means that both of those guys could help their team out right now, especially a team like the Utah Jazz. I like that both hustle and they're both bouncy. I think both could fit next to Gobert just because both of them can move around quite a bit. For Clark, could he be Draymond Green light? You know, that's a little difficult to compare because Draymond is so smart and he's great all over the court. But that should be Clark's aspiration. Draymond's also a playmaker. I'm not sure I see that a lot from Brandon Clark right now. Maybe he could improve on that if he did come to the Utah Jazz. But I'm not really sure that's his forte. It sounds like Hachimura is the same type of player as we talked about. Both need to work on their game. I would guess that either one would start on the bench if they came to play for the Utah Jazz next season. But you may not need either to be a playmaker, you know, a la Tobias Harris, which Jeremiah and I also talked about on the last podcast. You may not need a playmaking four if you're able to get a guy like D'Angelo Russell, and a big trade by the Nets could eventually mean he becomes an unrestricted free agent because the Nets are now targeting two big free agents in the offseason, which could mean that Russell is available. One of those guys is Kyrie Irving, and reports are out there that Kyrie is interested in playing for the Nets, but I'm sure he would like to have someone like a Kevin Durant go along with him. A lot of people had speculated that would be the Knicks, but maybe it's actually going to be the Brooklyn Nets. And if that's the case, that means that D'Angelo Russell could become an unrestricted free agent in the Jazz. And there are other teams out there who are also interested in him, that they would be willing to sign a guy like that. Number one, because he's so young. And number two, as Jeremiah talked about last time, he's already an all-star and he was averaging, I believe it was 21 points and 7 assists a game. That's really good. He's just really inefficient. That's the thing that I don't like about his game is how inefficient he is. He's not the most explosive guy either. He's more sneaky than explosive. Will he make the Jazz a championship-level team? I would say no right now. But I guess you never know what will happen down the road. Again, get him into a system like the Jazz have when it comes to player development, and maybe he is that guy that takes them over the top. And then again, maybe the other thing that helps take the Jazz over the top is that the Warriors get worse, the Jazz get better. And I know some other teams out there could get better too, but the Jazz seemingly get better. And because of the main three guys, if you got a D'Angelo Russell on your team, and then you have Donovan Mitchell and you have Rudy Gobert, that's your dynamic trio, and you'd be able to maybe take over the Western Conference in the NBA. I don't know. It may be a little bit of a stretch, but it may put them in contention if you get a guy like D'Angelo Russell on your team. The best way for the Jazz really to become a championship team right now, I really think it has to deal with internal development. Donovan Mitchell needs to become more efficient as a scorer, and Rudy Gobert just needs to become a little bit better on the offensive end. That's how the Warriors got there. When you think about it, it all came down to internal development from Klay, Steph, Draymond. Okay, yeah, it doesn't hurt to have Kevin Durant on your team too, but you know what I'm saying. Donovan improves, the whole team improves, and then they can kind of fill in around him. But it would help if you had a guy like D'Angelo Russell on your team. I'm sure he would become a more efficient scorer, like Jeremiah said, if he wasn't the number one guy all the time. And you already know he can pass. If he's averaging 7 assists a game, that means he has a pretty decent eye out there at finding open guys. And if he's able to do that, and if you're working with also a guy like Joe Ingles, who's a good passer too, that, and that's the one other thing. If you're able to sign a guy like D'Angelo Russell, that also takes the pressure off of a guy like Joe Ingles, who initiated the offense a lot last year when Ricky Rubio was out, And that led to him not being efficient as a scorer, or at least as a shooter. Now, if you have a D'Angelo Russell who can score but also kind of run the offense along with Donovan Mitchell, that might leave Joe open for more three-pointers and more of him to make. But more of them, more of the three-pointers that Joe can make is what I'm trying to say. Then again, maybe Joe just kind of topped out a few years ago. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see. This is actually a very exciting offseason. I can't wait for... I like the NBA Finals right now. It's fun to watch, but I can't wait for the offseason to start, for the draft, for everything else. Coming up soon on the Jazz Notes podcast, we'll probably have more draft specials coming up, more with Jeremiah and the other guys at KSLSports.com. Thanks a lot for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll talk to you soon.